record is on schedule. Should be here Monday, and they'll be ready to install next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I'm trying to get a time as far as Saturday because we don't know the installer's schedule or how long, you know, how much progress they're going to make. We just let them know that we have a service, and if we need to move the day up, we'll do so in order to accommodate that. But as many of you as are willing and able to come out and help for some of the things we'll need to do, we greatly appreciate that. Beginning Sunday afternoon after service, we will start moving some things into the warehouse. It's a beautiful setup for us that we got two buildings and two warehouses for the glory of God. I'm believing God for three. Triple. But I thank you for the double right now. So we're going to be moving things out as much as we can, and we'll have our Wednesday night Word of Life service and move everything else out after that because they'll be coming in on Thursday. So, praise God. I'm thinking of all that we got to do. We got to even move those drapes, and that'll be fun. That'll be fun to give them room so that they, or we may just have to tie them up. We'll definitely have to move those big, because they got those big feet, if you will. I call them feet, but the base that they sit on. So we have to get all of that out of the way, because they're going to come in, tear down, root out, pull up, and destroy, and then plant and build. And when you come in on Sunday morning, you're going to say, wow. This is really nice. Look at this. Wow. Praise God. For the glory of God. So if you are able to help out, by all means, do so. So we'll start Sunday after service. Give you time to go and eat if you need to, and then come back, and we'll start moving things out. And then again, Wednesday night, try and get as much as we can done so that we don't have so much to do Wednesday night after service. But it's going to be a blessing, praise God. Hallelujah. All right. This coming Friday, September the 13th, 10 times. Got to get that part in there. 10 times better at Minister and Sister Kino's home in Pittsburgh. So you all have a blast over there. This coming Saturday and Sunday, as we've been praying and as we have continue to lift up and all. Saturday, September 14th, Sunday, September 15th, Bruce Reed Women's Conference. And that Sunday is National Back to Church. Want to thank you all who have passed out flyers, you know, to give to people. Just even leave them at places that you go to. Just put them in the place. Somebody will pick it up. And what is that, if you will? It's not littering, just leave it there and let somebody get it. You go to the doctor's office or you go to the, you know, whatever business you go to, just leave it. And let somebody pick it up and read it, and may the Lord touch their heart and bring them out this coming Sunday. Amen. So those are your announcements. Let's get ready to give an offering unto the Lord, and let's bless him, bless his holy name with our givings. If you don't have it, don't sweat it. Believe God for it, though, because your life is supposed to get better in him. Amen? However you came to him, life is supposed to get better for you. And if it hasn't gotten better, it's because it's on the way, or it's because the way you're using your faith. And you know, faith is not to be dormant, but to be active. Faith is an act, according to Smith Wigglesworth. In other words, we don't just hear something, we act on what we hear. And what we hear and we act on is God's word. We declare his promises and we expect his promises to come to pass. We take in and make it our own. He's not just talking 1,600 years ago to the people of that day and time, or prior to that, 6,000 years ago, from the first man, Adam, and the first woman, Eve, on forward. He's talking to us today through that same word. That's just how good God's word is. Hallelujah. And it'll be even gooder for another 6,000 years if the Lord Jesus tarries, if the Father says, not yet, son, not yet. It'll still be the same incorruptible, infallible, almighty seed of the word of God. And that generation will have to lend an ear to hear what the Holy Ghost has to say through the written word and also through what the Spirit of God will reveal to them as they continue to pursue their walk and relationship with God. We're not just supposed to be stagnant, but aggressively pursuing our relationship with God. And in doing so, more gets revealed. How many of you remember about Mark chapter 4, just a couple of weeks ago? So what happens to him who gives thought and study to the things that he hears? What happens to that person? More is added. So as the Amplified says, for the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of, huh? I heard somebody say it. Virtue and knowledge that shall come back to you. Isn't that awesome? And then what else? Brain freeze. No. And more also. Everybody say more also. In addition, because we can never bottom out God. We can never get to the place where we found out all there is to know about God. We'll never do that, because just when we think we've gotten there, that just opens up more. But he desires the pursuit. You understand me? He desires the chasing after, even to know more, even to become more intimately acquainted with him. He desires that. But just when we think that we know all that there is to God, and we figured all of this out, and so this is it. If we continue, Dad will open up himself even more. He's eternal. He has no beginning and he has no end. And so you can never bottom him out. You can never reach the end of God, because you can't even go back to the beginning of God, because he has no beginning and he has no end. So the more you pursue, the more he reveals. And this is what Dad wants for each and every one of us as his sons and daughters. God chasers, chasing after him, running after him. As the psalmist says, as the deer panted for the water brooks, so my soul longeth after thee. Our souls long after many things, if you will. But the main thing should be longing after God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he makes it worth our pursuit, our endeavor of getting to know him more. The writer in Hebrews said it like this. It'll come to me. Let me go and read it, because I'm trying to remember it. But thank God, I know where it is. Praise God. Ah. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, come on, finish it with me. It is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Let's stop right there. He that cometh, giving time. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. He that cometh to God. You know, we've come to him. We might as well go all the way with this thing. Amen. It's not like it's just a thing, but it's like, don't stop halfway. Don't stop midway. Don't get to a place of stagnation. You know, let there be enough energy in you that even when you don't feel like, or even when you don't want to, there's enough energy that drives you to continue to pursue more of God. You get that? Yeah. You know, I know how it was coming up, and it's not like I've arrived. I'm still growing, still learning every day. But I knew how a drive was living in, first of all, Santa Clara and traveling to Mountain View. And then got blessing through teaching on faith from a man of God who taught faith, preached faith, helped me to grow in faith, to go and buy a townhome. And that townhome was in San Jose, which was further away from Mountain View. And so heading out to Mountain View on Sunday, heading out to Mountain View on Wednesday, heading out to Mountain View if there was a staff meeting, heading out to Mountain View if it was consecration, and consecration consisted of Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, every month. And you're fasting those 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's called consecration, setting yourselves apart for the things of God. And so you're fasting and you're praying and you're working and you got responsibility, you got little kids and things like that. You got all sorts of things going on. And sometimes the flesh is like, you know, we just drove from Santa Clara and all of that traffic. And you know, you're going this way and you got to go all the way this way in an hour of traffic to get home, only to turn around and then drive back to Mountain View and then go there to Mountain View and then come back to San Jose and then get some rest and get up and get ready to go back to Santa Clara again. And so sometimes the flesh would try and kick in and say, you know, get some rest. And I lie not, I tell you the truth. Every time my flesh wanted to do something contrary to what the will of God was, that energy I'm talking about, if you will. You don't have to call it energy. You could call it willpower, whatever you want to call it. It just rolls up in me to go and do. And every time I did, God made it worth my while. I was like, oh, praise God. I'm so glad I was here. So glad I was here to hear or to receive or to see, witness what God was doing. He always made it worth my while. Praise God. And he will do the same for you. And so you just got to have that willpower, if you will, that overcomes the weariness and the tiredness or the busyness of the day. You know, grew up that way, being busy, but still making time for the things of God. Once I got saved, I got saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. He became my life for the glory of God. And just growing and growing and growing and still growing. You never stop growing. The day you stop growing is the day you start dying. You have to grow in order to mature. You gotta go for more in order to do that. Otherwise, you just become stagnant. And, you know, it's like I asked a minister one time, what would happen if I stopped? And he said, you'd die. Spiritually, you'd die. And it's an obvious thing. You stop doing the things of God, you become dead to the things of God. And they no longer pique your interest or curiosity. They no longer pull on you, if you will, to go after more or to go in fellowship with those of like precious faith. This is not condemning. This is just reality. This is just real. You know, you stop. Once you stop, it becomes so hard to try and get back into. And I remember I took us, and I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here. I remember it wasn't a sabbatical. It was just I went through a time of doing finals. And so during the final time, it was studying for the finals, if you will. And so wasn't actively going to church and missed a few Sundays and a few Wednesday nights, if you will. But I was taking care of this business. But every day I got up and I was playing my pastor's sermons. And he did a series on on the book of James called On the Streets Where You Live. And every day I was listening to that. Every day I'd be, because I had to go to work, every day I'd be listening to it. Every day at lunchtime, I'd go out and sit in my 1973 Olds Cutlass Supreme. I'd sit in there and I'd turn that radio on and you hear Charles Stanley and he'd be like, as only Charles Stanley can do. He spoke with such authority in the younger days of his ministry, if you will. But every day he'd come on, and I mean, he just come with this either a direct question or a direct proclamation. He'd just come, and I mean, you'd be like, whoa, praise God. He'd just capture your attention and then expound on the word of God. He's a great teacher, great expository teacher, if you will. Baptist, but that don't take nothing away from his commitment to the things of God. I remember talking to that same minister that I asked, what would happen if I stopped going to church? I remember talking to him, and I was telling him, you know, I like Charles Stanley. I don't know if he likes. He says, me too. And I said, you know, he sounds like he's spirit-filled. He said, I think he's one of those closet tongue talkers. You know, because he don't want to come out public with it. And but his grandfather, or it was, yeah, I think it was his grandfather, was a Pentecostal preacher. And so he might have got, you know, and so anyway, he's a good teacher. But I'd blast him every day at lunchtime. So I'd be sitting out there at lunchtime, and I'm getting filled still. I'm out of the fellowship, but not permanently. It was just temporary for that stage and that period. But then right after that, I got right back in. And this is such a blessing. As soon as I come back in, one of the senior deacons comes up to me and says, you know, Brother Killings, the pastor has been watching and observing your life and some others as well. And the pastor is considering making you a deacon. I was like, praise God. Wow. Because he saw me in the realm of the spirit. I had a Jerry curl with, yeah, I heard that one before. Hair way down there on the back. You can't tell now, but it was there. Praise God. I used to have a lot of hair. But anyways, had a Jerry curl. And so the same minister who told me, you know, he thinks Charles Stanley is a closet tongue talker, and told me, you know, when I asked him if what would happen if I stop, you know, you'd die. That same minister, he was in bondage because of my long hair. And so he was like, you know, it's, the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair and all and stuff. And so anyways, I didn't pay him any mind, any attention. And then it came to a time where the Spirit of God just bore witness with me. Just like, where's Minister Patton? There he is back there. Minister Patton, he had a tail. He didn't have no shag. He had a tail. And praise God. But anyways, the Spirit of God bore witness with me that it was time to go ahead and cut it. And so I let the gentleman who was who answered my question, I would die, and then Charles Stanley is a secret tongue talker, and you know, you need to do something with your hair. I let him cut my hair. So he cut my hair, and then when I came to church, he just grabbed me and went up to the pastor. Look, pastor, see, he got his hair cut. And the pastor said something classic, which was good. It made me feel real good. He said, the brother's been walking in the spirit for so long, I didn't even notice his hair. I was like, praise. That was good. That was real good. He's now with the Lord now. But anyways, okay, we've received the offering. Let's go ahead and pray over the offering. Let me give into it as well. I thank you for those of you who continue to contribute towards the baptismal pool. And the offerings are going slow, but they're still coming in, and we appreciate that. And we got quite a few things we want to do. One of the things I've been meaning to do is, for those of you who would like to, as a matter of fact, we can try and get something going to do next week, and that is send some relief funds to the Bahamas, join in with Franklin Graham, them, Pastor Rod, them as well, to send some relief funds to the Bahamas, if you will, because of the hurricane, Dorian. Now, did Dorian get mad and upset because they named the hurricane after? No, they didn't. First time I heard that, I'm like, no, they didn't. In Jesus' name, stretch forth your hands in faith. Father, we pronounce the blessing over the lives of your sons and daughters who are here in this place, who have given willingly, freely, and even bountifully, that they shall reap in like manner. For as we sow, so shall we also reap. We stand on the promises of your word, which are yes and amen. We thank you, Lord God, that it is a good thing to give. It is more blessed to give than it is to get or to receive. And we thank you for this privilege and opportunity. We pray, Father God, that you'll increase us more and more, that you will bless us more and more, that you keep your mind stayed on us to prosper us, that we may continue to glorify you. Father, we thank you for the finances that come in. We thank you for blessing your sons and daughters with jobs and businesses, that they may be able to generate wealth, that you give the wisdom and the wherewithal to go out and establish themselves, or you give us favor in opening up doors to get employment. And we thank you that in this time that we live in, there are more jobs than there are people to apply for those jobs. And we just pray that saints of God will rise up and the spirit of wisdom and revelation shall come upon them, and that, Lord God, they're doing things to prepare themselves as well, that they may get promotions, they may get raises, they may get bonuses, they may get jobs that they could not qualify for, but you have gifted them to be able to do the jobs. In Jesus' mighty name, show favor on behalf of your sons and daughters, and let them increase in the area of wealth. Wealth and riches shall be in your house. Say this with me. Wealth and riches shall be in my house. 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 One more time. Wealth and riches shall be in my house. In the name of Jesus. And we will continue to lend and not borrow. We will continue to give, Lord God. We will continue to bless, Father, as you bless us in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for debt cancellation. We thank you, Father God, that all of our bills are paid in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Father God, that we have more than enough. We have extra. We're not living from paycheck to paycheck. We're living from faith to faith, strength to strength, and glory to glory, and increases on your mind concerning us. So we're looking forward to the increases that are coming our way. We thank you, Father God, that you have given us everything that we need, more than we could ever ask or think of. And we just receive the download of the revelation of that in every area of our lives, that it works its course in us, Lord, making us fruitful and productive in everything that we do and in everything that we say. We thank you, Father God, for uncommon favor. We thank you, Father God, for supernatural increase. We thank you, Father God, that debt is broken off of us and abundance is in our midst in Jesus' mighty name. So, Father, bless the offering. Bless your sons and daughters. Let them see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. May they prosper in everything they do in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen and amen. All right. Be seated. 4 minutes. Book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And if you're there, say amen. If you need more time, say hold up. Okay. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I want to take you back to Monday night because it was something that God did that by the end of the day, it really spoke volumes. Early that morning, I got up, came downstairs, and spent time with the Lord. And Pastor Lucia was upstairs spending time with the Lord. Unbeknownst to either one of us, Dad started downloading the same thing to both of us. It's not the first time he's done that. But, you know, when he does it, he's doing something. It's not just, you know, coincidence. We don't believe in coincidence in the things of God. But, you know, God's purpose being fulfilled. And so we went throughout the day, and then we came, and Pastor Seal was here in the tabernacle with LTJ. I was down in the MP room with the men for QLM. And amen. And so as we were down there, men were sharing, and some great things were shared. You know, Brother Tim had shared some things about what happened with him, and that in and of itself was a praise report and testimony with him and Sister Kelly and the loved one, the aunt, who went on to be with the Lord, and just how all of that unfolded was awesome in and of itself. And then Minister Aquino shared some things and what God is doing on the job with him. And, you know, some of that, it goes beyond just the political arena, but it's affecting every area of life, if you will, from the schools to workplace to just the country and all, dot, dot, dot. But he was sharing that. And then others had words as well to share. And so then at the conclusion, Minister Patton had asked me if I wanted to share anything. So I shared where I was. I said, this morning I was spending time in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And we hadn't even talked about it, Pastor Lucia and I. And so I began to share. Now, mind you, we're on the same property in two different buildings. And we're both sharing the same thing without having conversated. So at the end of QLM, we were riding out of the parking lot, and I began to share with her what I share with the men at QLM. And so then she's like, that's exactly what I was sharing with the ladies tonight. And so we shared what each other shared, and it just mirrored. And coming back to the, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every truth be established. But I'll just share with you right now, Jesus is still head of the church. And his rule and his reign is in heaven above, on the earth, and beneath the earth. And there's no greater power than him. And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, and many of us know this by heart and can quote it with me. And he's speaking to Peter, and he says, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And what was it that the Father had revealed to Peter? The Father revealed to Peter the answer to Jesus' question, which is what Jesus was looking for. He said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. And they did. Even Herod thought John the Baptist had risen from the dead when he kept hearing about Jesus and what he was doing. Some say you're Jeremiah. And then some say you're one of the prophets. They knew there was something great, something distinctive, something different about Jesus, but there was rumors as to who he might be. But then Jesus says, but whom do you say that I am? And so that's when Peter rose up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so that is the revelation right there. And it is what God reveals to us, because This is not false doctrine, but this is the canon of scriptures, but this is not the entirety of God's word. We have enough here to get to know God, to know his ways. This teaches us how to approach God. This teaches us how to live for God. This teaches us how to believe and trust in God. But God doesn't want, he does not want us just limited to just reading the word itself, but building a relationship based on the word that we have read. Because God is spirit, if you will. God is God, or a person, if you will. Not limiting him or taking away from his deity, but he's real. So let me give you an illustration of what I'm saying. Minister Killings is right there sitting at the seat, right? Everybody agree? Front row, fifth seat, second from that direction. If all I did was read about the history of Minister Killings, does that make me know Minister Killings? I know some things about him, but I don't know him personally. But what I read about him helps me to understand so that when I do go to him, I do know some things about him. And so now I can start to communicate with him, and then he can reveal to me who he really is and truly is. And I can get to know him on a personal, intimate level, not corny, messy, sexual type thing, but pure. I can get to know him. And it's the same way with God. We read about his word, but his word is alive and his word is good and his word is for us. But we don't limit it to just knowing his word. We now move into the realm of getting to know him, the reality, the trueness, the oneness, and knowing that he said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. So I should never feel left or forsaken. I should never feel abandoned, even when my feelings say you've been abandoned. I must always know he will never leave me. His presence is with me, even if I don't feel him. Even if I don't see evidence of him, I know that he's with me. That's what Dad wants to get us to. In that, Dad can reveal more. Dad can open up more. If all they did was went on the basis of the rumors that were going around about who Jesus was, then some of them would have thought, he's John the Baptist. He's Jeremiah. He's one of the prophets. Could be Elijah. After all, Elijah's supposed to come back. However, based on what they learned from Jesus and being with him and all, and it's not limited to there, because even they said, Lord, teach us to pray the way John taught his disciples to pray. And then Jesus says, okay, when you pray, say. So he's teaching them how to, and when he said, okay, when you pray, read the word. There's a difference. We do pray, we do read the word. But he says, when you pray, say. So now we're communing with God. We're not just reading, we're now communing. And the reality of his existence is now we're acknowledging. This is why he says, when you pray, say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Reverence his holy name. Reverence his presence, because he's holy and he deserves that respect. He deserves that honor, if you will. He deserves that, you know, our humility before him. You know, it's like we are before deity. We are before God. We're before the creator of the heavens and the universe, if you will. The heavens and the earth, the universe, if you will. And so we acknowledge his holiness and the reality of him. And in doing so, all of a sudden, we get closer to him, he gets closer to us. And then he can just expand us by revelation, by what we know, then opening up our eyes to see more about what we know that we did not know. But he saw it there all the time. And so it's like Jesus says, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The powers of darkness, the gates, the authorities of darkness, death itself won't prevail against my church. The church has been in existence for now. I like the way I was reading Sid Roth. He did a Bible translation giving the flavor of the Jewish, I'll say, version, or their knowledge of the scriptures, more of the Hebrew, if you will, even with the Greek, trying to take it back to the way Jewish people interpreted the scriptures as they were given to them. And he said the word church is not even in the Greek. We put that in there, he says, but using the word church can give dual meanings. The church can be the building, or the church can be the people. But the closest word to the Greek, ekklesia, called out one, called to a meeting, if you will, the closest is assembly or congregation. Because when you ask about the congregation, or when you say the congregation, you know you're referring more to the than you are a building, if you will. And so, anyways, in sharing that aspect, Jesus says, upon this rock I'll build my ecclesia, my called out ones, my people, my assembly, my congregation, and the powers of hell will not prevail. And it's like death will not stop the church. Persecution will not stop the church. Lies and deception will not stop the church. Nothing will be able to stop the church of the living God. Stand to your feet. Nothing. Everybody say nothing. Nothing shall be able to stop the church of God. Now, with that being said, and he's Lord over the church, and as I share it with the men Monday night, there's a lot of shaking that's been going on. A lot of things that have been happening. Now, I'm not trying to badmouth leaders, but even that night after I left, after sharing with QLM, I got home and I was looking through emails and I saw this article, Charisma Magazine, of this one individual who had already, and I'm not trying to badmouth, the stuff just keeps happening, but an individual who had already been in trouble before for misconduct, and he's a minister, got in trouble again. And this is like years later, got in trouble again. And so, you know, the accusations are coming, and there's some truth to it, and probably more truth will come out as time goes on. But you have situations like that, and then you have individuals, and I told them, I said, you got to be proven. This calling is, you don't take lightly or for granted. You will be proven. You will be tested. But people are gravitating towards personalities and, you know, stardom and things like that, and they're attracted, lured in by the certain things, whether it's the lights or camera or just, you know, the way you dress and stuff like that. People are more attracted to that than the real thing or the real one, who is Jesus. And so this one individual, Pastor Lucia was just showing me, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, individual committed suicide, and this was a week or so ago, and it's like, yeah. And their comments are not words that Jesus gives us. The person made the comment that, and I'll paraphrase it the way I took it in. It may not be the exact meaning, but it was as if to say, Jesus is not enough when you're battling suicide. And it's like, no. Yes, he is. He is more than enough. Jesus will bounce suicide from here to out, you know, infinity, way out there in no man's land, if you will, if we will let him. Jesus was tempted with suicide by Satan. And he didn't bow. Why? Because he had a word that was stronger than the words of Satan. And if we don't know what we have, we'll subject ourselves to what others have to say. But you got to know that you got the word of God. Upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell. It doesn't matter how hard Satan comes at you. You are, the greater one is on the inside of you. You have the power of God with you. You have the word of God with you. You have the Holy Ghost leading and guiding you into all truths and revealing to you things that are to come. That's the Holy Ghost's ministry, if you will. And so how is it that we get lost? How is it we get sidetracked? How is it we get so inundated? How is it that we all of a sudden lose our drive for the things of God and want to go back to the mire and back to the vomit? Total deception, but it happens every day. That's why the saints must be rooted and grounded and established in the faith. Let God be true and every man be a liar. Jesus says, upon this rock of who I am, he is the foundation. He is the foundation that Paul says, we can't lay any other foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's not only, he's the foundation, he's the chief cornerstone. He is I am. And as someone said, he's everything. Brother Sean, he got a word about the great I am. He's everything I need him to be. He's not a thing. He is God. But whatever I need, he's well able to provide. So, yes, Jesus is able to deliver us from suicide. Because that weak statement of faith will get into the ears of some weak person who will think that Jesus is not enough to keep me from taking my own life. The devil is a liar. You call on the name of Jesus if you're being tried and tested. You call on him if you're being tempted to do evil. Call on his name and watch that stuff break. But if you're so engulfed in the mess, if you've gone back, there's nothing back there. There's no sacrifice back there. There's no peace back there. It's only chaos, confusion, and disorder. It is anarchy at its best. And this is the generation that we're growing up in. Amongst, I should say. And so now, I'm stopping. With the perspective of Mark chapter 4, for the measure of thought and study you give to the truth that you hear, it will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that'll come back to you and more also. So Dad will start revealing. And this is what makes this walk so much worth it. Because you have communication with Dad. You have communication with Jesus. You have communication with the Holy Ghost. They are with us. It's one God manifest in three persons, and they're still active in our daily lives. And we got everything we need. Don't let no devil make you think that you're lacking something when you've got God on your side and God is with you. Don't you let no situation or circumstance become so bad that you now have to doubt and question God's ability to bring you through it or to get you to overcome this thing. You in school, build your relationship with Christ Jesus. Michaela, lead the way. Lead the way for them. Yeah. It's not a burden. It's a delight. Hallelujah. All right. So, a lot of things are happening. A lot of bad things are happening. But then there's some good things that are happening too. Hallelujah. And we want to stay on that course. Yeah. You hate to see, you grieve when you see people turn away from the Lord when he's the best thing we got going for us. Hallelujah. He's the best thing. Fred Hammond said it, sung it. You're the best thing. You are the best thing ever happened to me. Hallelujah. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. They're going to make me stay here another hour and everybody going to be mad because they got to get up early. Praise God. Kids are rubbing their eyes. I'm so tired. Bless them, Lord. Let their sleep be sweet. charge their spirit up with the word that has been spoken even tonight. Give them more than what I've shared as they think about what has been shared. In Jesus' mighty name, help them with their homework if they have any homework. Give them the instant wisdom, knowledge, and revelation in order to be able to not only figure everything out but get it done in quickness and be able to rest peacefully in your presence. And for the adults that have to get up and go to work, Father God, strengthen them with might and power. I pray for divine favor. I pray, Lord God, that you open up doors, that you change situations around that work for the good of your sons and daughters in this house. Prosper them, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Can I just share this? I'm done with the prayer. I just wanted to share this part because Minister Keno, he blessed me when he was sharing about the person that was challenging him because, you know, can't understand why you don't support your union. Unions are good and then unions are bad. You know, they have their place in order to protect the employees, but then they start getting off the beaten path and doing other things. But when the person said that, I'll paraphrase it, Minister Aquino was like, I do support the union. I give them $900 to $1,000 a year. And they do what they want with the money. And they don't ask me, what do I think about where I think the money should go? So I do support the union. But let me tell you something. This job that I have, and I can't word it exactly how he did, but it's like, did the union do that for me? No, God did that for me. The union didn't do that. God did that. And he just, you know, politely put her in her place as not being chauvinistic. That's just, you know, the person trying to make him feel bad about his decision. We all can make decisions, and we should seek the counsel of God in our decision making. But don't try and answer the people who are trying to force you to make a decision that you know is not the right thing to do. Yeah, they're nuts. I don't know what's wrong with people. They're getting out on freeways protesting. What's wrong with them? Cars coming by 65 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour, and they're out there trying to stop them on the freeway. It's madness, sheer madness. You know, what happened to just standing on the sidewalk or something, walking around the building or something? Now it is sheer madness. Society has gone mad. But the church of the living God is here. And upon this rock, Jesus is still building his church, and the powers of hell, the gates of hell, are not going to prevail against or stop us. So, Father, though we live in turbulent times, though we live in these days, Lord God, where many are departing from the faith, we also believe you for revival, that many will come into the faith. And, Father God, we pray for our nation. We pray for our government. We pray, Lord God, for our school systems. We pray, Master, that you will move in our nation and around the world, and people will see Jesus, and they'll come to Jesus and be saved from their sins and destruction. I cover these saints in the blood. I thank you for their labor of love. I thank you for their patience. Bless them. Increase them. Cause them to see your goodness. The Lord our God bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you, and give you his peace. May he give you perfect rest in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be blessed. We love you. We'll see you Saturday, and then 10 times better on Friday. Glory to God.